Graffiti Japan!
Yeah, I'm gonna tell them you know business. I'm all about my business, but I ain't got no briefcase. Yeah, all I got is some whiskey. Open that whiskey, bring it to you. Yeah, I'm leaning up against the door, and my feet are to the floor, and we're messing on go.
What's up, Peters? Welcome to yet another action-packed episode of Got Fit in Japan, and I am your host, Johnny. And as you fine folks know, Got Fit in Japan is about two dudes, booze, Japan, and the news. And Faders, this is episode number 739, and today, our news, our big, big news is that we are here at one of the most fantastic hamburger bottle shop bar event spaces in Tokyo. We are here with the man in the place. We are here with Ben at the Den. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Man, no, thank you for allowing me to come here on your day off. I mean, this place is absolutely fantastic. Now, I have to say, before I even came here, like I met you about 2 weeks ago at Martin's birthday, and before I even came here, I knew of your place. People have been talking about this place for a while. Koenji Sean, little King Otaku, he's been talking about this place. He's like, you gotta come to this place, they got so many beers. I'm like, so many beers? I'll be there. And then I heard from Martin that the food here is absolutely fantastic. Like the sandwiches are delicious. You guys have amazing like French fries. It's just an amazing menu that everybody's talking about. This is the talk of the town, Faders, and we are here right now, this very moment. So before we move any further, I would love to sample this beer that you provided to me. This is a beautiful, beautiful beer. Can you tell me about this?
So this is a Kolsch. So basically like it's one of the most like simple beer in a way that is like very easy to drink. It's not like too much ingredient. It's like a very easy drink for like people that don't even like know so much about beer. Yeah. And so we call it the thirst one, because when you're thirsty and you don't know what to choose to start your beer marathon, then you can get this one.
This is the one to go to. All right, well, let's start because I am thirsty. Cheers,
cheers, man. Oh, yeah, that is a spot.
Oh, yeah. This is really, wow. Wow, that aftertaste is great.
Yeah, super easy to drink, super refreshing.
This is the thirst one, and this will definitely be my second one, too. This is great. Wow, and you guys make this?
So yeah, we have friends in Kaigan Brewery. Mm-hmm. So Kaigan Brewery is also the guys from Coaster, beer bar restaurant in Shimokitazawa.
Oh wow!
And so they opened their own brewery, Kaigan, in Minamiboso in Chiba. And nice. So they helped us like brew this beer. And so we went there, we spent like a few days there, like explaining like what we wanted. Then they explained us like all we could do, choose the ingredient together, and we prepared all the batch and like all the ingredient. And then the magic happened.
Wow.
Like 3 weeks later.
Fantastic. 3 weeks. Wow. This is amazing. And what was the most difficult part in like choosing ingredients? Would it be like choosing the hops or...
I mean, to be honest, is like this. I trust my friend there, that is like the head brewer over there, because like this is like very technical. So like basically for me, I just arrived there and says like, I just want this type of beer. I want something super refreshing, super easy to drink for the people. And he said like, I exactly have what you need. And so it was pretty easy, to be honest. It was
really
like very trustworthy people, and they know what they do.
Wow, that's great. Fantastic. And the name of that brewery is Kaigen Brewery. Kaigen Brewery. There you go. For all you guys watching us on YouTube, take a little look-see at my beer right here. Da-da-da-da-da. It's fantastic. You know, this is a really smooth, refreshing beer. This is kind of like a summer ale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could drink this all day. Wow. What percentage is this?
It's 5%.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, 5% is great. Oh, that's like a session beer. Wow, nice.
Super easy to drink. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you can get this at The Den. And so now let's talk about The Den. So you guys have been open for how long?
It's going to be almost 2 months now.
2 months. Yeah. Wow. Well, so you just started and you're completely taking over, kicking butt. Wow, this is great.
Yeah, no, it's been great so far. Like we have a good turn up. Like people are very curious about the place, and there are so many things. And then when they arrive, they're like, oh, it's even better. Mm-hmm. So like, no, we're very happy with what we've done. Like it's been a long adventure to arrive here and now, but no, we are very happy. And we're very happy that like everybody that comes here enjoy the place. So
yeah, I was here a couple of weeks ago and I absolutely loved it. Yeah, it was like a huge party. It's Martin's birthday party. Martin has not been on the show yet, but he will. He hasn't been on the show, but he will soon. We've been drinking. And anyway, yeah, I had a great time. This place is fantastic. You guys had DJs. I mean, the food was amazing. The beers were delicious. It was great. Video games. Oh my gosh, you got like a little miniature arcade downstairs, which is great. I played Defender and Street Fighter. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. So can you tell us about the concept of The Den?
So the concept of The Den is having this like kind of like community place, mm-hmm. where, you know, just like trying to make you feel at home. Mm-hmm. So that's why also we choose the name, The Den, you know, it's just like it's your own place, you know, like you're a den, like you want just to be alone, or you just want to be with friends. There's enough space. There's like you know, it's cozy. Like you want to be here, and you can work, you can party, you can just have a drink. It's like just a place like you want to appropriate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Yeah, this place is very, very spacious. I mean, you've got, how many floors? You have 2 floors.
Yeah, 2 floors. So it's 2 times 60 meters square. So around 120 something in total.
That's pretty spacious in Tokyo, Faders. And this area right up here, this is kind of like the bar dining area.
Yeah.
And then downstairs is like the party area. Or I think both areas are kind of like the party area. Because like the one I first came here, you had DJs up here.
Yes. So basically, like the cool thing with the place is also it's very adaptable. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the right word, but yeah. So upstairs here, we are now on the stage. So we usually do all the live stuff and the DJ stuff here. Mm-hmm. But like, there is enough space downstairs too. So like, if we need, we can always get the DJ equipment downstairs and do like our party downstairs.
Oh, that's fantastic. Can you tell me about some of the events that you have here?
So right now we have like jazz night every Thursday.
Ooh,
so
cool.
I was a big fan of a bar when I used to live in Paris, and yes, like once a week they had this like gypsy jazz band coming, and it was always the same dudes, and yeah, it was just some kind of like very religious moment. Mm. Like everyone would come to the bar, and for like 1 hour or something, everyone would just like shut up and listen to the music, being absorbed by the ambience of the place, the music and stuff. So I wanted to have that here. And so that's why I wanted to have like this jazz night on Thursday.
Cool.
And we're gonna have like from middle of April, we're gonna have like an open mic party every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be called the Friday Live. Friday the Den.
Friday. Oh god.
Very bad pun.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
The puns will drop.
And,
it's okay. We're drinking. It's fine.
So yeah, it would be like so this event will be separated in three parts. So first part would be open mic for around 45 minutes, then there'll be like the host live. So we have, I have one of my friend who's a music teacher. This would be organizing this,
mm-hmm.
and so the second part will be him playing guitar with a guest. So cool. Every week a different guest, and the last part of the this event will be jam session.
Wow!
So it'd be 45 minute open mic, 45 minute of live, and then 45 minute of jam session.
That's gonna be pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, it's going to start 12th of April.
Wow.
Waiting for you, 12th of April.
12th of April. Wow, that's actually coming up soon now.
Yeah. Every Sunday, we show sports.
Mm-hmm.
So for now it's mostly like a MMA, UFC, so
MMA,
all
yeah.
the big events, even like the small one, like mm-hmm. we are big fans here, so mm-hmm. like you can enjoy like good food, good beers, and like your favorite like sports events, and we're gonna try to expand to more different sports, like maybe football and also like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm just trying to set that up, and I'll put it on the Instagram and the website of the place, so you can see whenever there is something.
Wow, that is fantastic. So you've got sports, and you play them on this monitor right up here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we have this big, like a 4K projector.
Oh, wow.
And it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
you can see the blood fly off their face when they get hit, right?
Yes.
It's even in slow motion.
Yeah, the replays are pretty wild on this.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
No, we have a cool screen, cool projector. It works pretty well.
Oh, fantastic. So you've got DJ events, you've got band events, you've got jam sessions.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about having like kind of like rock and roll nights or hip hop nights and stuff like that? You've got the space, the stage right here is awesome. It's actually quite perfect to do something like that.
Yeah. Actually, like all this like event, like we're not close to any genre. So basically, like I was also thinking, like I have friends doing like idol management and stuff. So
idol management,
so
wow,
could be very fun to have like even with you know, like a hardcore band, then idol, then like hip hop. You know, I'm for the mix. Like to be honest, there is always something interesting like in music. So
mm-hmm.
let's do it. Yeah, for sure.
And your interior is really, really cool. I love how you have like the otaku culture completely covered. You've got Akira. You've got, what is it, all six books over there. You've got, what's it called? It looks like you've got some One Piece stuff, Fist of the North Star. So you've got a lot of like otaku culture kind of stuff represented here. Who did that? Is that you?
So for now, I have to say it's most of my stuff, but like... me and
it
my
is
sister.
You, huh? Trust me, I'm a fan. I've read all those books.
Yeah, I mean, it's like me and my associates. We all have like the same taste, and we all come from the same things. And so it's really our nostalgia from those 80s, 90s manga and anime that we loved. And I thought it was like really cool, like to set that thing up, like also like, you know, to make people like feel at home, especially on this space. Like this stage, like the goal of this stage is to look like a 80s, 90s, like a living room, you know, so like the chair, like the
lava
from the
lamp
Shining,
right there,
the lava lamp.
Yeah. Oh, I just noticed you got the Watchmen up there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read that a couple of times.
And yeah, you have the full like Conan stories.
Ooh.
It's yeah.
Conan the Detective, right? Not the Barbarian?
No, Conan the Barbarian, actually.
Oh, you got the Barbarian?
Let me get that.
No! Oh my God. I used to read those when I was in junior high school.
Yeah, I got the
SD. Oh my god. Oh jeez, Louise. Let me see this. Oh my god. Are you worried that people are gonna start stealing this stuff? I mean it is Japan. This is the novel. Oh, I thought it was the comic.
It's the actual novel from Ben Howard.
This is a brick. Oh my god. Has anybody ever read this? It's like reading the Bible or something. Wow, that's pretty awesome. The complete collection, obviously. So look how big this is. Oh my god, dude, you could like work out with this thing. Oh, I'm thirsty. I need my second beer. Cheers, man. That's awesome. Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, this place is great. I feel so comfortable here, you know? I mean, when I first came here, I mean, I had a lot of friends that were here. And I at that time, I felt very comfortable, right? But now, even being here just like with you hanging out, this is great. It's got a really nice, welcoming, warm atmosphere. I really love this place. Yeah. So, all right. And another thing that I love, Faders, is food and beers. So I want to talk to you about your beer selection. Like downstairs, you have like what? 500 beers, 10,000 beers. You have like what? Five huge, huge coolers full of beers.
So we have like those three huge like display fridge.
Yeah.
And we have like around like 140 reference of beers. So it's Japan and Asia. Then we also have like Australia, Canada, America, and Europe. And yeah, like we're trying to focus on like up and coming like brewery things that's hard to find. I'll try also like to when people like ask me something, I try to get what they want, what they usually like, and I try like to challenge them to get into like new stuff because there's so much interesting stuff. Like I mean, I am very simple for my taste. Like I like lager and stuff. I'm always keen to try something else, but I feel that like when you master the basics, then like you know means that like you can do more complicated stuff. So I'm trying to get like a nice selection of what we can get here. And we have like nice provider, like they know what we want. So usually like I always get emails about like what's new and say like, hey, like there's this collaboration with this brewery and that kind of stuff. So it's nice.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. And you have beers on tap, not only in the bottle.
Yeah.
So do you change the beers on tap or is that permanent?
No, I change all the time. Like I have the first two, three beers on the tap that are always like a Kaigan with some kind of a little partnership that we have. But they always change. They always give me like new beers, so it's always nice. It's always new. It's not all only like the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And then the last three, it's always like something that like I think interesting. I always try to keep like the thing on the draft, pretty simple, pretty like just like maybe IPA, AZ IPA, maybe a stout or something like easy to understand drinks. So when people prefer to have like something on draft than something in the can, now they can find like mostly like everything.
Are you at Harajuku with some out of town friends or your family or significant others?
Yeah!
Do you want to chill and drink beer and eat sandwiches while your friends overpay for glitter unicorn socks?
Yeah!
And the flavor's gonna make you complete at Harry's Sandwich Company.
So come on down to Harry's Sandwich Company in the heart of Harajuku, right off Takeshita Street. See you there!
Yo, what's up, Faders? Got Faded Japan has got a new sponsor. Our new sponsor is Gamuso Bar, located in Asagaya, Tokyo. If you're kicking it in Tokyo and you want to get your groove on, get your fade on, you better get your ass down to Gamuso. Gamuso is located in Asagaya. It's about 11 minutes from Shinjuku Station on the Chuo Line. Gamuso has weekly bands, weekly performances. And hell, if you got your own event and you want to hold it at Gamuso, we'd love to host you. So contact Gamuso at www.gamuso.com. That's www.gamuso.com. That's right. Gamuso has not only beers in the bottle, but beers on tap. We've got every drink you want, so come on down to Gamuso. Gamuso. And if I'm working, tip me.
Have your attention, please. Attention.
Hey, yo, what's up, Vaders? Johnny here. You know I love booze and news, but I also love art. So come on down to thespiltink.com and check my art out. I've got tons of stuff there for you to check out. I've got paintings, I got prints, I got videos. And I tell you what, if you like a painting, I could probably sell it to you. And I tell you what, if I can't sell you that painting, I will definitely sell you a print. I've got prints of all my work. Prints are about 2,000 N each, about 20 bucks. But if you buy two, you get the third one for free. So come on down to thespiltink.com. Yo, and on top of that, I'm looking for commissioned work. So if there's something that you want me to do, I can make it for you. Just check out my stuff and see if you like my style. And if you like my style, I can definitely paint you anything on canvas, paper, whatever. I've done it all. So come on down to thespiltink.com. That is thespiltink.com. Thespiltink.com. Proper.
Mitsuya Liquors.
Yo, what's up, faders? If you're in Asia, if you're in Japan, if you're in Tokyo, if you're in Asagaya, you better get down to
Mitsuya Liquors.
That's right. For the most affordable prices in Japan, you can get over 300 different kinds of beer. That's right, over 300 different kinds of beer. And of course, they got all the shochu you need, all the sake you need, and of course, they got wine from California to Italy to France to New Zealand. They got it all. When I say they got it all, they really, seriously got it all. There's no joke about that. So get down to Mitsuya Liquors. And if you go in there and you say, got bit of Japan, you will be more than welcome to go into their back room and drink those beers that you just purchased. That's right. Got bit of Japan at Mitsuya Liquors. And three times a week, they have a sushi chef there. So get your sushi on, get your drink on, get your fade on, and come on down to Mitsuya Liquors, located comfortably in Asagaya. About 5 minute walk from the station. Mitsuya Liquors.
In Tokyo and craving soul food? We've got just the place for you. Soul Food House in Azabuchi-Uban. Check out what we do at soulfoodhouse.com. Come by and taste the love. We look forward to feeding you.
Well, tell me about your menu.
So menu is also like we try to keep it very simple. Mm-hmm. So I used to work in a Mikeller Kanda, and I was doing like smash burger over there.
Cool.
And when we were thinking about the menu here, I was like, okay, let's keep it simple. Mm. Like, I already know how to do smash burger. Like, let's go with this and do our own. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's like, you know, something super easy to eat when you're drinking beers, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like you can have like one smash burger, one burger in one hand, you're drinking the other hand, and super easy. So
that's the way I like to roll.
Yeah. I mean, so for now, like, the menu is like we have like three kind of smash burger. Mm-hmm. We have loaded fries. We have some.
Yeah, everybody loves your fries. They say you got to get the fries. Make sure you get the fries. So I'm like, all right, I'll get the fries.
Well, like the key is good products.
Yeah.
Like we had like our friend in Costa Shimo Kitazawa. Mm-hmm. They gave us tips like to get like a nice providers.
Secrets, not tips.
And I think it's not about like fancy cooking or any like Shaolin techniques to cook anything. It's just like find the good products. And just like make it simple, like when you're at ease with, you know, the simple stuff, then you can just like improvise. But like for us, the most important was having like a nice cheeseburger, you know, just very simple.
You know, when people start like adding too many things to like hamburgers and stuff, it starts going crazy, you know? Like, yeah. It's just like the flavors are all over the place. They get messy. They're difficult to eat and stuff. Like, whenever, I mean, I hate to say this, but like, you know, like Burger King or McDonald's, like here in Tokyo at least, or in Japan, every so often they release like the mega Ebi avocado burger with cheese. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of flavors, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit too much, you know? You're just like, I guess I kind of like this, but I'm not sure, you know? But like when you simplify something that's already perfect, it's good.
Yeah.
Right? So it's completely unnecessary to add all this stuff. And if you notice, these burgers that like the McDonald's or Burger King, I'm not comparing you to McDonald's or Burger King at all. I'm just using them as an example. Whenever they add like, they add these like huge, crazy, insane burgers or whatever, they only last like 2 months. And then they're gone, you know? And then the menu that they have is like the basic menu. You've got the cheeseburger, the hamburger or whatever, you know? So it's just like, you know, if something's perfect, why mess it up?
Yeah. That's exactly what I think. Like, I love burgers in general.
Yeah.
But, like, I like to be able, like, to grab with one hand and, you know, just being able, like, to do a bite of the full burger and not having, like, to try to squish everything in my hand to be able, like, to press all the ingredients in just one bite. Like, and then I get, like, all the sauce and all the ingredients all over my hands.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's to each their own. Like, I know I have so many friends that love when the burger gets messy. For me, it's just, like, you know, I'm gonna use the same hands to grab my beer, and I don't want to have, like, you know, grease on my glass. So like that's why I like, you know, not too small, but I like a normal size burger with like all nice ingredient, and that's it.
That's the way to go. Yeah, I don't like burgers that are really tall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's still like a trend, but like the last time I was in San Francisco, they had like the $100 burger, and they had all these like these crazy burger shops, and they were just so big, like patty on top of patty on top of patty with all this stuff, and I'm just like, how do you eat that? Like, who's got the mouth? What are we, cartoons where a mouth stretches out or whatever, like a Scooby-Doo or something, you know? I was just like, there's no way a reasonable person could eat that unless you like chop it into little pieces and break it down, and then it looks like garbage, you know? Why not just keep the burger at a hand size? Yeah, burgers are supposed to be a hand size. Sometimes a two-hander, whatever, but it's just like, I mean, yeah, it's just like something you can hold, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, for me, the tower is defying the concept of the burger itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because when you have to cut it with your knife and fork, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be a sandwich that you hit with your hand, so...
Then it becomes chili.
Yeah.
Or stew, you know? I mean, you're gonna break it all down. It's all, like, a million different pieces or whatever. You're just like, ugh, this ain't fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's cool. Very cool. I love your concept. And I love your food, too. And, all right, now let's talk about Koenji. Out of all the places in this beautiful country, Japan, to choose where to open a restaurant, why Koenji?
I think Koenji always appealed to me because it's the last punk bastion of Tokyo. I mean, like, you ask someone in Koenji if they live in Tokyo, they say, like, no, it's not Tokyo, it's fucking Koenji. So, you know, it's like this kind of...
I used to say the same thing about Shimokitazawa 10 years ago.
Yeah, but like, so I think Shimokitazawa was kind of the same as Koenji.
Yeah.
Like this nice, like cool, like subculture, dominant, like a neighborhood.
It was.
Yeah. But now, like, Shimokitazawa was completely gentrified.
Oh, God.
And you have all those new buildings. I mean, I'm not speaking on it because, like, It's still a nice place.
I still love Shimokita.
Different vibe.
Oh, like, Ben, I couldn't agree with you more. I lived in Shimokitazawa proper from 2002 to 2012. 2012, I left.
Yeah.
Right? And when I first moved there, 2003, when I moved there, it was an amazingly awesome place. There's so many underground clubs and bars, and there's so many, like, just like hardcore punk rock events, and people on the streets were just doing crazy things like fire dancing and dudes of mohawks selling like tattoo equipment. It was just crazy, right? It was so much fun. But then once they started opening like the huge mega Uniqlo building or whatever, the station started changing, whatever, my wife was just like, I think it's time to go. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. Let's just start looking at other places, because it's just like it started changing, and not in a good way for us anyway. So then, and then we moved to Shibuya.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. We didn't move to Shibuya, but close enough. But yeah, but yeah, Shimokita was pretty awesome. But no, I completely agree with you that Koenji is like the last like strong front of like traditional bohemian Japanese style.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, it's like a neighborhood full of like subculture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice. Like every shop doesn't look like the other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like I always had like the best time like partying here.
Yeah.
You can be outside. There's always like people. Yeah, it's just nice. And I felt like it would be the best neighborhood to connect with people, because I think what makes a bar a nice bar is like when you can have like an exchange with the staff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is so many bars that have good product, good drinks,
yes,
but you know the guy behind the bar or the girl behind the bar is cold, you don't want to be there, you know. You have your stuff,
this guy's
you're like
awesome.
Okay, it was good, but like you know, I don't know, like when you go to a dive bar, mm-hmm. and like in Kabukicho for example, you go to the shittiest dive bar, but you still go there because you like the guy. You know, you like the guy or the girl behind the bar. You know you're going to have like a fun conversation, or, you know, you go there. It's like you're a fucking therapist, you know. Mm-hmm. You can just have a nice drink, talk about anything, and just be comfortable. Even if you don't want to talk, you know that like the people around you doesn't make you cringe or like make you feel like an at ease or something like this. So I think this also was very important to me to be able to connect with people, and something I would not be able to do in maybe a more traditional like a office area.
Yeah,
that may be like better business, you know, but I think for me, like, I'll get good business if I can get close to the people.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. I mean, that's how I met you. I mean, we're like kind of hanging out a little bit and stuff when I first came here. We're talking about like the DJ equipment and stuff, and then the drinks downstairs. And I think I made a couple of jokes about the pinball machine that the balls don't work. And I was like, well, my balls don't work either. Ha ha ha. You know? So yeah, it's a good time. And another thing that I really love about this place is if you're watching this on YouTube, which you should be, subscribe. If you look behind me, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have these huge tables, right? And they're like really, really, really long tables where at least like maybe like what? 7, 8 people can sit at. So if you come here, you don't know anybody. Let's say you're new to Tokyo, or if you're here on a business trip, or maybe you're just visiting for a little bit and stuff, and you just want to hang out and meet some new cool people in a cool part of town, you can come here, and these tables are very welcoming. So I'm sure if you sit down and you have a beer and maybe some food or something, you can meet like a lot of really cool people and make some friends, you know. And the cool thing is, when you come to cool parts of Tokyo and you meet cool people, they're going to tell you about other cool parts of Tokyo to go to and other cool things to do. So this is a great opportunity to come here and just meet a lot of awesome people. And if you're lucky, you can see a jazz band.
Yeah, true.
Very cool. Well, I think this is absolutely fantastic. I love Koenji. I've always loved Koenji. Koenji's always been a great place. So I'm really, really happy that you guys got a place there. And to talk a little bit about business, how difficult was it to find real estate here? Was it difficult to go to a real estate agency and be like, I want to open a restaurant? Was that tough or...
Yeah, to be honest, like it was, so all the things I've done in Tokyo, it's through like the network I have. So, and the network I have is going to places, talking to people. And without this, I would not be able to be here today. Like when we opened the company, so it was already kind of like a struggle to get all the paperwork all done together and go through the Japanese bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
But we found a place first in Koenji. But like the paperwork wasn't ready and stuff. So the place got rent. And after that, it was like 6 or 7 months of like absolute bullshit. Like I went to so many different like real estate agency, and because we're not Japanese, like I was like, oh no, this place is not available for you. We would go to places like, and that was absolutely not what we wanted. Like, I felt like they didn't even wanted to try to get what we want, like to understand what we wanted. And also, we would go with like agents that are kind of like I don't know, like they are tied up with the company system where you can't negotiate anything. You can't ask anything because no, this is what's wrote on the paper and that's it. You can't go over this. And I mean, you're gonna invest your money, you know, somewhere. A lot of money. So you want to be able to talk with the owner or with the company that owns or manage the place.
Yeah.
And this was impossible for 6-7 months. And after 6-7 months of like absolute like nothing, a friend of mine said like, hey, I know like French speaking people that like I've been like doing like a real estate on the side. And in 1 week they found the place. Like we just went there. That was the first place they showed us, and we were like, oh, that's this place. Yeah, I was like, damn, like where were you like 7 months ago, you know? and those guys have been like amazing. Like we could talk. Like there weren't like a lot of things that we could negotiate, but at least like we knew that like we could talk with the owner or the managing company through this agent, and it was super easy. After that, it was like just like a really transparent questions about what they needed to do the paperwork, and because like the real estate agent is already like a foreigner. Mm-hmm. Like they already knew that it was like working with foreigner and stuff, so like all the places that he proposed to us was already like foreigner friendly.
Wow.
So no, like after that, it was like when we found the right agency, then everything went smoothly.
So basically you got to find the right agency before you find the location. And the right agency would help you find the right location, and that could take. I mean, should you? Maybe you should plug these guys.
Oh yeah. I mean, they don't have like an official like front door like shop, but like it's more some kind of like you know, hand to hand contact. Like I don't know what to say that like
Faders, if you're interested, send us an email and then I'll connect you with this guy who will connect you with that guy, which means you got to be serious because you're going to go through 1, 2, 3 different people. Yeah, we're middlemen now.
Yeah No, for sure. Well, no, I'm sure they will be happy to help more people. Those guys like I just did their I don't know what to say that like in English, like notary studies here in Japan. So they have perfect Japanese and they have a perfect like understanding of like all the laws and all the rules for renting a place and stuff. It's like complete professional. They have their license and stuff.
Fantastic.
That's really, really cool.
Wow, God, that's a godsend. Oh my gosh, yeah. Going through some companies, I mean, I've heard of some people having no problems finding a location, but I've heard a couple of issues where some people had a kind of a difficult time, such as like you. So yeah, I guess basically the most important thing is finding the perfect real estate agency, and then from there, finding a location. Yeah. So that's really cool. And yeah, and speaking of location, I mean, your location in Koenji is absolutely spectacular. You're located like what, 45 seconds from the station?
Yeah,
basically. Is it 45 seconds?
I mean,
I think it's less than a minute. It could be 55 seconds. You know, don't hold me to any number, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you can see the bar from the platform, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very close. Like, we are like 100 meters away from the station exit, like the south exit of Koenji.
Wow, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, very, very great. There's no reason not to come here.
Yes.
Yeah, you should definitely come here for like all of the above, of what we discussed. But another thing is starting a business here. What were some of the difficulties of starting a business in Japan as being a foreigner?
First thing first, I would say what you need is secure the money. And like, be sure that the people you be with have like, you know, the same intention that mm-hmm. you have. Having the money like ready, because once you have this money ready, mm-hmm. like then you start the paperwork and stuff. And the paperwork is kind of like really, random timing. So sometimes there's some stuff that can take a long time and some other stuff that it just, in 1 week it's like unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, you have like, there's like things you have to pay throughout the process. Just be sure that like money is ready and available. I would recommend, if you're a foreigner and you're not like proficient in Japanese language,
mm-hmm.
To find a management company that would help with all the accountant stuff, the lawyer stuff.
The accounting and lawyer stuff. Yeah, I know all about that.
So, I mean, it's not cheap, but like that's so much help.
Mm-hmm.
That like I definitely recommend to have someone to do this for you.
Absolutely.
And for us, we would not have been able to do anything without them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very, very helpful. Even like to find a bank, dude. Opening a bank for a corporate when you're a foreigner, mm-hmm. and just like, like I mean, people are just like looking at you, just like, no, like. And it's so funny because I think it's the first country in the world that I went to a bank and I was like, no, we don't want your money. And I was like, what?
Your money is no good here.
Yeah. And what a shit show, like having a bank here for a corporation. It's very hard. But it's really cool stuff. Like also like send our friend here an email and I'll help find a bank for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And bureaucracy was the most difficult part, but yeah.
What?
Bureaucracy.
Like, yeah.
But at the end, yeah, if you have like if you have someone to help you with this,
mm-hmm.
it just takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Like I mean, yeah, I would say secure the money. Make sure you have time. Make sure like you have a year in front of you where you can free your schedule to go to appointment, to do the paperwork, to go to the different location.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to be in the project, you know? And then like let the bureaucracy do its very slow work and you should be all right.
Interesting. Okay, excellent. And if you are going to open another restaurant, probably you will. I mean, you guys have been brilliantly successful since you opened. So, I mean, in the future, let's say the next 3 to 6 months, when you open a new restaurant, where would you like to open? Since you've already got Koenji, what would be next? Would it be somewhere outside of Tokyo, or?
I think it'd be something somewhere else than Tokyo. Maybe Osaka or Fukuoka. It's like I love many places in Japan, but like I feel Osaka might be like a good spot too. Fukuoka, this is the south, and it's very cool, like up and coming, like a brewery there also. Mm. And also like it's nice, it's so different from Tokyo.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be nice like for people that are like want to try like both places,
mm-hmm.
like to have like those two like different vibe, you know, of Japan. So yeah, maybe somewhere like far, not inside Tokyo.
Yeah,
maybe not inside Tokyo.
No, that's a great strategy. And Japan is, even though Japan's like a really small country, it is so vastly different wherever you go. If you go to Izu, which is just like, what, 2.5 hours south, it is like completely different from like the Tokyo area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some parts of Izu looks like Vietnam. You know, you're there and you just see like these huge like islands that are like, I don't know, like 100 meters up in the air, just like right outside of like the sea. And you're just like, wow, that's incredible. And the people are more laid back. They're different too. You know, it's just like, Japan is so magical. There's so many great places outside of Tokyo. Yeah, Niigata is one of my favorite places.
I mean, what people see from Japan is mostly Tokyo.
It's
mostly Tokyo. The rest is picture or video of the countryside. But the actual Japan is not Tokyo. Like, Tokyo is like almost like a country by itself. Because Tokyo is so special, but the rest of Japan is so different.
Yeah.
And like, if you already have trouble like communicating in Tokyo because not everybody speaks English, then try to get outside of Tokyo and you'll see like how difficult it is. But actually, they are more keen to try to get what you want to say or what you want to get.
Agreed,
when you're outside. Because it's not as touristic that Tokyo. And I think people are like super easily more open-minded.
Open-minded, curious
to try like to talk with you. They are more interested. I mean, Tokyo is good for business, let's be honest. Like if you want to do business in Japan, like and like Tokyo is obviously a good way to start, but like the rest of the country is beautiful and there is like so many stuff to do. So,
oh, so great. Yeah. Like I said before, one of my most favorite parts of Tokyo or Japan is Niigata. Niigata is just so beautiful. The mountains, the sea, you've got the island up there. It is so great. The food is delicious. Yeah. The people are hardworking people. They're tough people, but they've got golden hearts. Everybody in Niigata has got a big golden heart. They're so kind.
Yeah.
You know, once you start talking to them a little bit, at first they're like, who is this foreign guy? But if you talk to them just a little bit, then they open up and stuff. And yeah, it's great. I love Niigata. Every time I go to Niigata, I have just such a magical time. It's great. I think everybody should go to Niigata.
Yeah, and good place to get like a Nihonshu.
Oh, the Nihonshu, the sake Nihonshu. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's so great up there. The rice, you know, the interesting thing is, when I first came to Japan, I thought rice was rice. There's no difference. Until I went to Niigata and I had Niigata grown rice. I'm like, wait, this rice has texture and feeling and the flavor, the more you chew it, the more flavors you feel and taste, whatever. It's like absolutely spectacular. This is great stuff, you know? And then I was like, how come they don't sell this everywhere? You know, this should be the rice, you know? And it's hard to come back to Tokyo and then go to like 7-Eleven and get an onigiri, a rice ball, right? Yeah. So you're like, this isn't rice, this is Play-Doh, you know? Because the rice in Niigata is just so great.
I agree.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right. Well, Ben, before we go, I want to say thank you so much.
Thank you
for your time. Thank you for inviting me here. It's been a very, very wonderful podcast. And I know your business is going to be extremely successful. Everybody loves this place. Everybody's raving about the food and the beer selection and the atmosphere. I mean, look behind us, Faders. For all you guys watching us on YouTube, could you imagine like maybe like 30 people here all enjoying delicious hamburgers and drinking amazing beers and just meeting each other and having great conversations? You could be here too, and you should be. And before I say goodbye, is there anything that you want to plug? Any events that are coming up or anything at all?
For sure. Like I'm waiting for you guys like every Thursday for like the jazz lover and even like the curious people. And from the 12th of April, open mic and jam session. Guys, like there is no limit for the genre. So just bring whatever you have, even if like a comedy show or whatever, just hit us up on Instagram and we'll hook you up with the stage.
Absolutely. And all the contact information for the Den is going to be down in the show notes. So just go down the show notes and click on the Instagram and the website and phone number or, I don't know, personal private email address. I don't know what you got, but it's going to be down there. Faders, thank you so much for fading with us. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Ben, thank you so much, man. It's been great.
Yeah, same.
All right. Definitely support them before you support us. So go and click on their Instagram before you click on Got Faded Japan's Instagram. Go to their website before you go to us. We want to support you 110% because you've got amazing beers and delicious hamburgers. Speaking of, let's go get another beer and a hamburger. Faders, thank you so much. It's been great fading with you guys. It's a day podcast. This is kind of weird. Usually I do the podcast late at night where we're getting super faded. But yeah, right now it's just kind of a cool podcast. We're just kind of drinking during the day, getting faded. We're both kind of hungover. That's all good. It's part of the ride. Faders, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Peace.
My little brother, a goddamn shit-sucking vampire. Will you wait till mom finds out, buddy?
I've got a government job to abuse and a lonely wife to fuck.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Cows of pressure! I can't take it! I can't take it!
Excuse me.
We're going freaking! Yes!
We came, we saw, we kicked his ass.
Your move, creep.
Man, I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Suicide. Suicide. Fuck it, dude. Let's go bold.